Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel. How's your throat?
Oh, it's sore. I think I slept with my mouth open somehow. Must have rolled over on my back and just let it... I feel like it's...
He's downing. I don't even know what those things are. I've never seen them before. Pine Brothers?
Pine Brothers Softish Throat Relief Natural Honey.
Softish?
Softish, yeah. So they're kind of like a gummy, but not quite.
Okay, but they help.
But they look... You know, the look and appeal of them to me is that they look like they probably don't taste very good. So that makes me think they are good.
Yeah.
For your throat.
Yes. Yeah,
like
they
the
were.
The worse they look and taste, the more effective I believe that they are.
Yeah.
So if you put cherry all over it, new citrus flavor or whatever, you're pushing me the other way. I don't believe you. You had a pretty big week.
I did.
You were spotted front row.
I had a controversial week. front row at the Yum Center, and I, at the request of my son and husband, I wore red and black. Mm. Now I did not cheer, and inside I was certainly pulling for Louisville to lose.
Yeah.
But then you remember what a terrible coach Kevin Stallings is, and I figured there was no shot. Even though they let them come back in the game. It was a boring game, start to finish. There's no, at least the game I went to, you know, Louisville and Pitt, there's no electrifying player on either side. So it was this, there was no one I cared to watch. Yeah. But Sam had the time of his life. He had the time of his life. He got to sit on the bench. He got to high five all the players, and
that is huge for a kid.
It was really a cool thing. So he got to be the ball boy and got to hear Coach Pitino's rants during timeouts, which he was just, it mesmerized him. Couldn't believe it.
His speeches, his language. Earmuffs.
Yeah, earmuffs.
Oh, Mary Jo, why couldn't you have married a guy with UK connections?
I know.
Wind up with a Louisville guy. But it's all about the kids. You do a lot for your kids.
Yeah. I mean, John and I have been together 5 years, and this is the first time I went to the Yum Center. So right. It's not like I'm...
Right. A regular.
No. It was just because Sam got to be the ball boy, and that's the only reason. But I did get some flack. You know, obviously we're close friends with a lot of media in Louisville because they cover Kentucky, and you're at a lot of things together.
Yeah.
So... You know, I see a bunch of guys that I know, and they're all like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And what are you wearing?
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
But it was
an interesting week for Louisville football as well. Those guys traded.
That's a weird thing. Anyway, that's weird.
So Louisville defensive coordinator Todd Grantham leaves Louisville for the same job at Mississippi State. Mississippi State defensive coordinator Peter Sermon leaves Mississippi State for the same job at Louisville. Grantham is taking a $300,000 pay cut to go to Starkville. Louisville to Starkville. There's nothing in Starkville. Like, people will say Oxford has charm. Nobody.
No,
you know,
no.
Starkville is empty. Now, Louisville's defense was number 8 in the country in yards per play last season, number 31 scoring defense. Mississippi State's was number 103 in yards per play during Sermon's one season at Mississippi State. It was 44 the year before he got there. So it dropped 60 spots in ranking.
Well, neither one of them can be Kentucky, so...
So the only explanation for this is Grantham is running, screaming to get out of Louisville and get away from Petrino. And Dan Mullen's like, you're going to give me the guy who just did that defense? Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll give it.
I got a great guy for you. I got the perfect person. He works for me right now, as a matter of fact. You can have him. He stinks.
A $300,000 pay cut. When you're talking about assistant, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well,
that's a third of your salary.
I put it in terms of how many years do I have to work to get to $300,000?
Oh, yeah.
And he's just giving it up, moving to Starkville.
Obviously, that's just a lot of money anyways. But I'm talking about just for in that job title, in that position, they make a lot of money. But this is still a gigantic chunk to give up.
Yeah, $300,000 is a salary of someone on a staff.
Yeah.
Like the Kentucky staff. Someone on the Kentucky staff makes probably about $300,000. Speaking of Kentucky football, Jeff Badette announces he's transferring, and before I tweeted out something about it, I waited to see the reaction of those who cover it more deeply and have more connections, because to me, I thought, wow, he's transferring? And then I didn't want to say that, and somebody go, we saw this coming.
Yeah.
And then I look like an idiot.
It seemed out of the blue to me.
Everyone, it seemed out of the blue. And he's the leading receiver from a year ago. 31 catches, 670 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's the speed burner. He's the guy that you go to on the deep ball. Garrett Johnson was the only other guy that they went to.
And really, it was Badette. I mean, he was the deep threat.
But Badette, Johnson, and Timmons. Those guys are the only ones with 20 or more catches all season long. Timmons is gone, Badette's gone. So you got Garrett Johnson back, and then Dorian Baker, who was injured a lot of the season, he only had 14 catches.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, I mean, they do have a lot of guys there, but Badette, I think, is a big loss for them because of his experience. He knows the SEC playing against these guys, you know, the routes. I mean, he knows what to do. There's not a whole lot more learning to be done. You can always get better and stuff, but.
It wasn't him looking at the younger receivers and thinking, well, I'm not going to get to play next year.
No,
he was definitely.
Yeah.
The top guy.
Clearly, it's the product of having 2 1,000-yard rushers. He graduates from here, from Kentucky in May. So he can go right away as a graduate transfer and play somewhere and be on another team for fall camp.
Without having to sit out.
Yeah, anytime. To sit out. So I think it's more about more opportunities to catch the ball. Instead of 30 catches, maybe 50, you know, or 60 or something. Here he seemed to be mostly a deep threat and not as much a possession receiver, which maybe he thinks he can be a little bit of that as well.
Well, and with his speed, he probably thinks that's, you know, where he might even be utilized better with yards after catch.
Yeah.
If he can, you know.
Right. Absolutely. So he's from Orlando, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a school, Florida Atlantic. I don't know if you heard FAU. They have a new coach, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Could Jeff Badette wind up playing for Lane Kiffin?
Well, they got a quarterback that, you know, was at Florida State.
Oh, I didn't know that. Who's that?
Oh, the guy that Florida State kicked off their team for hitting a woman on video. DeAndre.
Oh, really?
Something or other.
He's at FAU?
The day after Lane Kiffin got the job.
Oh, my gosh.
Him.
I didn't hear
that. It was so Lane
that.
Kiffin.
I so missed that. I didn't catch that.
What's his? I don't want to say his name incorrectly.
Right. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yes. So, I mean, they've got a guy that can throw the ball.
So what are the odds, you think, Badette would consider Florida Atlantic? Lane Kiffin. DeAndre Johnson.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh. That would be something, wouldn't it? Well, today's show, I mean, there's so much to talk about.
I know.
Hamidou Diallo, you know, he's here. He's practicing with the team now. Calipari spoke of him yesterday. There's a big football recruit, Lynn Bowden. Today announces if Kentucky gets this kid, he would be the highest-ranked recruit in this class, in this current class.
And I saw Justin Rowland tweet out that if he commits to Kentucky, this recruiting class goes to number 18 in the country, surpassing Florida and Arkansas.
Unreal. mean,
yeah,
that's something else. And then you've got the UK game, of course, at 4 o'clock against Auburn. NFL playoffs. I mean, there's so much. So we've got a couple guys to talk about this with. Chris Fisher from 24/7 Sports. He can tell us about these new enrollees, 7 enrollees for football. Mid-semester means they'll practice in the spring. So we'll talk to Chris Fisher about those guys, as well as Hamidou Diallo, yeah. Lynn Bowden, Mohamed Bamba is now a possibility to come to Kentucky. Maybe favorite over Duke. It was Duke. Leaning Kentucky now.
And Duke is at Louisville today, right after this show. You can listen to it right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Perfect. So Chris Fisher, 1030, 247sports.com. And then at 11 o'clock, the Courier-Journal's John Hale. Of course, we'll talk more about this Bidette situation and get into what Kentucky has at receiver after Bidette. But Kentucky today against Auburn at 4 o'clock, the Cats are a 24-point favorite.
That's coming off a pretty tight one at Vandy.
Yes. Kentucky was on their way to blowing the doors off of Vanderbilt. And then the quick whistle put Monk and Fox on the bench. And that was it right there. That made it a ball game. And once Vanderbilt had a little feel, they never stepped back from it. But I fully believe Monk and Fox are still in that game. Kentucky just keeps going the way they were going.
Probably so, but it was, it's always crazy when we play at Vandy, number one. Mm-hmm. It always is that way. But, you know, it was nice to see and I think Cal, you know, said this in, you know, not so many words, but to shoot as poorly as they did from distance, 1 for 9 from 3, and still win the game.
Yeah.
Is a big thing. This team needs to know that they can still find a way to score and win games, even if that shot is not falling.
And again, clutch in the closing moments. That was big. Being under pressure, game on the line, and answering the call, especially when they hit the 3 to cut it to 1, and you had to have an answer immediately.
And Bam shot his free throws much better, too.
Yes, 8 of 10. Much better. Calipari yesterday said Bam Adebayo, by the end of the season, is going to be that guy. I think he was about to say is going to be Karl Towns, is going to be Anthony Davis. But he stopped himself.
He could be, though.
Yeah. I think that's what he thinks. He just didn't want to say it to put that kind of pressure on Bam right away. But I do think that's what he believes, that by the time March rolls around, he's the go-to guy. When they need a basket, they can throw it in there, and Bam can deliver. Because we've seen him. He's pretty much unstoppable that close to the basket.
And he just dunks it.
Yeah.
He just dunks it. All over you.
He either dunks it or he gets fouled. That's going to be a focus. More so moving forward. You just know it. But making sure.
As it should be.
Yeah. Bam has to get. He has to average 10 shots a game. He just does. Monk's great. Fox is great. But they each need to sacrifice maybe 2-3 shots apiece per game to get Bam more touches. Kind of even it out a little bit more.
And understand, even going through him, just getting him the ball, even if it's not for a shot, it's going to open things up so much more for the two of them anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Plus, this week, we all voted on the sports figure of the year, which is, I guess, what it's called now since horses have won it.
Right.
And so we both did our top 10. I looked over yours. You have not seen mine.
No, I haven't seen yours. I don't know yours yet.
We have our top 10 are similar.
Yeah.
But not in the order of which they
are. Our number ones, are the number ones the same?
They are not.
Oh, they are not! Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Well, this discussion, I think we need to tease it a little bit and really get into it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I have no guests booked tomorrow. Just saying.
No, I think this is a tomorrow thing. But I want our listeners to kind of be thinking about who they would pick as the sports figure of the year in the state of Kentucky.
And there were so many choices.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, I started out with 19. I got Mark Story sends out a list of 100, it seems like, but it's two PDF pages, and the type is so compact.
Yes.
Jammed in there. So it's a lot of names, and I just go through and I write down each one that I think should be in consideration, like the first cut. And that's down to 19, I think I had it. And then from there, you try to get it down to 10. And honestly, I could have gone 6 through 10. I could have taken all of them out and put another fresh 5 in and been like, yep, that's still good.
Yeah, because I think you have 3 or 4 in your top 10 that I don't have in mine. But you... But they wouldn't be an argument, really. I mean, you could go either way. I'd go either way on them. I wouldn't argue against yours. I don't think you'd argue against mine.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of great choices.
I struggled. The one I struggled with the most that's not in my top 10, that would be 11, was Damian Harris, simply because he led Alabama in rushing.
He made my top 10.
Well, he was in there, and I just couldn't leave him in. I felt bad for a couple others in there, and I thought, nah, he's just right on the verge. But when you're from Kentucky and you lead Alabama in rushing, you know, like I said,
would it have changed your mind if they had won the championship?
Yeah, because then you add a national championship to it. And he already has one, but then he adds another one. Actually, you know what? You're not even supposed to think about that, because that's this year.
Mm-hmm.
So this,
but it's technically the 2016 season.
Yeah, it would have mattered to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he got, I mean, gosh, he got the fourth down.
Yeah.
You know? By the way, we haven't talked about that yet, because that happened on Monday. Woo!
I know. Don't you miss college football already?
I do.
Gosh.
That was amazing.
I want it back.
I didn't want that game to ever end, but it did. It felt like it did never end.
Right, I know.
But for Dabo Swinney, he is like they're running the clock out. I figure they're like they're going to play to get this thing to overtime and not take any chances. That's what it looks like to me. Mm-hmm. They ran like 20 seconds off the clock. I'm like, well, all right, I get that. You know, don't want to risk an interception or a bad play right here. Play it safe. Get to overtime. You've got all the momentum going in your favor. Okay. And then, instead, they do the riskiest thing ever and call a play to run for a touchdown with 6 seconds left. If you don't get it, you might...
I mean, you have a split second to decide, because you can't... If you've got to save that kick in your back pocket, you've only got 6 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, so 6 seconds... Play could be over, game over, and you didn't get a chance to tie it. You would have tied it. But it was the plays that they ran, the pick plays that they ran for the two touchdowns. Such great calls right there.
Mm-hmm.
Great calls.
99 offensive plays against that defense.
Wow. Excellent. What a year it has been for championships.
Yeah.
That game, Villanova, North Carolina in the NCAA March Madness National Championship. Of course, the NBA Finals were amazing. The Cubs and the Indians World Series. The Broncos, Panthers, not so much.
No, but that was the only one, really. Yeah. Everything else was... And didn't the Stanley Cup go to 7 games?
You know, I don't even remember, because the Blackhawks weren't in it. If the Blackhawks aren't in it, I'm done. That's the only time I pay attention to hockey, really.
Yeah, I don't at all.
At all.
Ever.
Zero?
Yeah. Not so I'm even, just guessing.
Not even for the Wild?
No.
The Gophers?
Maybe the Gophers.
All right, we got to get to a break. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, Chris Fisher from 247sports.com will join us to talk about recruiting, a lot of stuff on that front to get to. Here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Are you ready to have your home or office cleaned the right way the first time and every time? Let the Cleaning Authority take your cleaning stress away by giving you a first-class cleaning experience. The Cleaning Authority is one of the largest home and office cleaning companies in Lexington because they get great results with high customer satisfaction. Their references will tell you they put you first in all they do. The Cleaning Authority staff are bonded professionals, so you can rest assured your home or office is in good hands. Call us for a free estimate at 859-309-1313. That's 859-309-1313. Or check us out on the web at thecleaningauthority.com Lexington. The new year is here. Start it off right by getting your office or home cleaned by the pros. Call the Cleaning Authority and let them take care of this for you. The new year is the perfect time to call them for your first-class cleaning experience. Call 859-309-1313. The Cleaning Authority. We make life easier.
The following is an advertisement.
When we built ForThePeople.com, it was designed to be your consumer website, a place to go to learn about your legal rights. It was also built to protect you before an accident occurs. One of the most helpful parts of our site is warnings about unsafe drugs, products, and medical devices. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Right now, we're investigating, and in some cases, actually litigating cases involving some of these drugs you may be currently taking or have taken in the past, and likewise, certain medical devices. I invite you to visit ForThePeople.com now and from time to time to educate yourself and hopefully protect you and your family. This site was built for you, the consumer. And remember this, I'm not just a lawyer, I'm your lawyer. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
It's basketball season. It's football season. It's the cellar season. Happy Hour, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7. Game day specials, all NCAA football and basketball, and all NFL games on our beautiful big screen TV. Incredible food in the most beautiful sports bar anywhere. It's the Cellar on Lansdowne Drive, right next to the Signature Club. For more info, call 859-317-8301.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I'm so disappointed in the choice of REO Speedwagon.
This is not REO Speedwagon.
Is it not?
No, this is 38 Special, right?
38 Special.
Hold on loosely.
Hold on loosely.
You got to know REO Speedwagon has a much more distinctive sound.
They do.
Look, and I knew that one, and Dan didn't.
And I've actually seen 38 Special in concert.
I've seen REO.
But I feel like
they do the state fair circuit like nobody's business.
No doubt about that. I feel like I hear Hold On Loosely weekly.
Yeah, somewhere. It's on a lot.
It's on every classic rock station once an hour, mandatory. So I'm a little tired.
John, and Josh knows never to play it again.
No, he'll make sure it's in the rotation now. Do you remember, Mary Jo, last year, Auburn against Kentucky, and we were doing this radio show, and what did we say? There's no way.
No way.
Kentucky's going to lose to Auburn. Just no way. It's just not going to happen. No chance. They went down there.
Because I think Kentucky was coming off a game where they looked amazing, and Auburn looked
terrible.
Terrible.
Once again, Auburn's terrible. They are terrible. Kentucky got up by 12 points in that game. It was like 15-41 to go. They're up by 12, and they lose. And Calipari is 201-3 at Kentucky. When his team has had a 10-point lead at any time in the game, which is absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah.
You get up by 10 points and you don't lose 201 times out of 204 times. One of those three times was at Auburn last year, which is crazy.
I do think Bruce Pearl is a good coach. It's just Auburn is tough, man. That's a tough gig.
It is. They've supported him. He's said that he's getting the support he needs. I mean, they got the new arena down there. They've got nice facilities. You know, that area is not a bad recruiting base for basketball players. Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Florida. They're good basketball players down there. It's not popular,
But I can remember being down there in when I lived in Columbus, Georgia, and this kid that went to Auburn was from, I think, Manchester, Georgia. And they didn't want him. He was supposed to come to Big Blue Madness when Tubby was here, and they talked him out of going because they knew if he went, that would be it. Because all he's known is what basketball is like in Alabama, Georgia. And if he goes up there and sees Big Blue Madness, it's over.
Yeah.
Corvontney Barber. That's what his name was. I remember him now.
He played at Auburn, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went to Auburn. I talked to his high school coach down there, and he told me that story. He said, yeah. I said, because, you know, Tubby was recruiting him. I thought Kentucky was going to get him. He said, yeah, he was going to go to that Big Blue Madness, but his family and everybody talked him out of it, kept him here because they knew if he went up there, that was it. So it's just a tough place to win, I guess. I
mean, it is.
But Auburn just got its first conference win on Tuesday, 77-72 at your lowly Missouri Tigers.
I didn't even know that, and I was going to say, was it Missouri? Because I don't watch them at all.
Yeah, nobody does, apparently.
No.
Did you see the crowd for that game?
No.
Well, there were pictures tweeted out. Auburn at Missouri. I mean, if you looked at that arena, I'm not sure 1,000 people were there. Really. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I really don't think they got 1,000 people to watch that game. It was so depressing.
They have got to fire Kim Anderson.
They should do it now.
Yeah.
They should do it right now and just get anyone else to breathe some energy and life into that program. But Auburn lost its first three to start SEC play. Lost to Georgia, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss. And then finally got a 5-point win at Missouri. So they're horrible, but then you look and turn around and see that they beat Oklahoma, Connecticut, and Texas Tech. Those aren't great teams, but I mean, Oklahoma's not bad. Still, Kentucky's a 24-point favorite. I give. And I don't care. I'm not jinxing it. I know I said this last year, but I don't care. There's no way Kentucky is losing to Auburn today. I don't care if Auburn plays out of its mind. Not happening. They're just not good enough. Just not happening. All right, next up, Chris Fisher. We got to talk about, you know, Mohamed Bamba. Kentucky's got this recruiting class. Calipari's not done. Mohamed Bamba may be coming to Kentucky instead of Duke. We'll talk to Chris Fisher from 24/7 Sports about him, as well as Hamidou Diallo, officially on the team, practicing with Kentucky. And then the big football recruit, Lynn Bowden, would be UK's highest-ranked recruit in this class. He makes his decision today. Will it be Kentucky? Chris Fisher from 247sports.com. Next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I couldn't get work opportunities without a high school diploma.
And I said, it's time for me to go back to school, get my GED, and further my education.
It was a feeling that I cannot explain. Once I received that GED, I decided to keep going to college and do something.
My son and I, we are stable. I pay the bills. I'm able to do all that because I got my GED.
Kentucky Adult Education. Your future starts here. Contact your local Kentucky Adult Education Center today to begin building skills for credentials, college, and career. This ad sponsored by Kentucky Adult Education.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change, not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Can I tell you what I think makes the insurance industry happiest of all? When so many people refuse to make a claim because they're afraid their rates will increase. It's absolutely crazy. I can tell you this. When I had to file a claim, I did, and my rates didn't go up. And if you're in a one-car accident as a passenger and don't file a claim, no matter who the driver is, the insurance company wins and you lose. Don't fall for this age-old trick. If you really want to save money on your premiums, bid them out every year. I guarantee you then you will save money. The insurance companies don't want you to hear this either. Be smart. Protect your family and your future, not your insurance company. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You can listen at WLXG.com. You can also get the app on iTunes or is it Google Play? Is that the name of that thing?
Yep.
I don't use it, but you go there, you type in WLXG and get that app. It's an amazing app. It's so simple.
So easy.
Like if you don't, like Calipari could do this. he could tap the little app store on his phone and then he just types in WLXG and then it pops up and then he taps download the app. And then once it says it's done and says open, he hits that. And then voila, sound of whatever is on this radio station at that moment.
Just pops up.
There's no logging in.
Nope.
There's no giving phone numbers and email addresses. It's just tap it, sound.
It's on.
Of streaming radio from this radio station. We have Chris Fisher from 247sports.com.
That's the second time you've done that.
Well, this interview is done in about 15 minutes, and I won't have to say it again, but 24/7 Sports, it doesn't roll off my tongue as easily as it does maybe for some others. But Chris has been doing it for a while, does a good job over there, and there's a lot to get to. We'll start with basketball. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Chris, can you hear us?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I don't think you guys are giving John Calipari enough credit. He he says YOLO, he dabs.
He's got a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which Eric Lindsay does all of for him.
Except the dabbing. Somebody, he can't dab for him.
Well, but maybe John says to Eric, all right, you, because Eric added the YOLO to the tweet.
Yes.
Like John Calipari did not type YOLO. John Calipari said the words "you only live once." And so Eric, being, you know, limited to 140 characters on Twitter, typed YOLO. That blew up. So now I can picture Cal sitting in his office getting ready to do this, and he's like, all right, so YOLO, what else are the kids doing? And Eric's like, well, they dab. They do a lot of dabbing. Oh, what's a dab? Show me a dab. He does a dab. There it is. That's my theory of how this got going. Anyway, let's start with Hamidou Diallo. And Calipari says yesterday, if a situation arises like the one against Vanderbilt the other night, and maybe it's in March, and he's got Monk and Fox in foul trouble, two fouls 4 minutes into a game, would he insert Hamidou Diallo into the lineup and play him? Of course, before he could do that in March, he would have to at least get his feet wet in February. And he says, no, I wouldn't do it because I don't think it's in his best interest. Tell me what you think about that, your opinion on his reasoning there.
Well, John Calipari has always been a players first coach, and he runs a players first program. And so he's not going to be in a situation where he's going to play Hamidou Diallo this season just to win games or just to help himself or help the team. And I just don't think people really understand how difficult it would be to just throw Hamidou Diallo into a college basketball game this season. I mean, I think Kentucky's had such talented freshmen over the years that they make it look easy, where these guys just step foot on campus and are, you know, college basketball superstars from day one. But it's not easy. It's really, really difficult, that transition. And there's so much for him to catch up on at this point, both offensively and defensively. John Calipari said yesterday he doesn't even know how to practice.
Never yeah.
been through a workout before. And so I think there are some people who expect him to come in and be a defensive stopper or you know, something like that. And I just think that's asking an awful lot of this kid who just stepped foot on campus for the first time on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, those other guys had a whole summer,
yeah.
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all playing together. Now, I know that he made news a little earlier this week talking to Scout and saying that he hasn't ruled out the NBA draft and is playing it by ear, but it would still seem that that is a long shot, correct?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think he said that he's leaving the door open on playing this season. He said he's leaving the door open on entering the 2017 NBA draft. But I think there's probably a mutual understanding between Hamidou Diallo and John Calipari. And you look back at this process and the decisions that have led him to Kentucky, he's been very mature about that process and making those decisions. He knows he's not ready for the 2017 NBA draft. He's had a lot of NBA scouts and personnel watching him this season, and the reviews weren't all that great. They said he doesn't shoot the ball well enough. He doesn't handle the ball well enough. He doesn't play hard enough, consistently enough. And so I think it was that really led him to, okay, I'm not going to get any better playing against high school kids. I need to get into a college program. I need to get into a college weight room and those types of things. And I think that's part of what led him to Kentucky.
Yeah, I think this experience is so invaluable and maybe a little bit underrated, while people may be more focused on if he's going to play, could he play this season. What's a bigger deal to me is Isaiah Briscoe, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Dominique Hawkins, Derek Willis, Michael Mulder. They're all gone. No guards are returning. They're going to be all new freshmen. And while they all may be very talented, none of them would know anything about what it's like to play in February and March and be around a team that is in the hunt for a national championship. And just the experience of what it's like every day, all that stuff. Just the acclimation and to see what it looks like to be successful at that level. And he is going to have that experience, at least one of them, when the rest of them come in the summer, and be able to be a leader on the team, because no one who's going to be the leader, it's going to have to be him pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if he maximizes his time at Kentucky and really develops his jumper and tightens up his ball handling this spring, and he has all summer and then even into the fall next season, I think he's absolutely poised for a monster season next year. You look at, you know, on the football side, these seven guys coming in early, it puts you so far ahead of that learning curve, being able to get on campus and figure out what John Calipari expects on a daily basis, and learning the system on both ends of the floor. That's going to be an invaluable resource for him going forward. And talent wise, he's, you know, the number one shooting guard in the country. He's a freak athletically, and so once he gets his feet underneath him, I definitely think he'll be poised for a monster season next year.
We're talking with Chris Fisher of 24/7 Sports here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Now, Dan just mentioned all the guys that are leaving and more included in that, because he just was mentioning the guards, yeah. right? You didn't even talk about Bam and anyone else leaving. And there's already a pretty good recruiting class coming in, but Mohamed Bamba still out there, maybe thought to be a Duke lean. Kentucky is showing up a little bit more in the picture. Can you kind of fill us in on Mo Bamba?
Yeah, I think his recruitment is probably one of the more difficult to read, maybe the most difficult to read of any in the 2017 class. I don't think he's very far along in the recruiting process for anyone to really make a clear determination on which schools are the favorite. I know some people feel like it's Texas. Some people say it's Michigan. Some people think that, you know, once Kentucky and Duke really, you know, put the pedal to the floor, that they're going to be the two at the top. But I just don't think he's very far along, and the people around him keep him very insulated from the media and that part of it. And so you don't see him really do any interviews. But given Kentucky's success with big men like himself, I think that's Kentucky's ace in the hole. You look at a guy like Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, DeMarcus Cousins. It's impossible to see that success and not, you know, have that weigh heavily into your decision. And so I think given the other guys that they already have on board, I think they're able to kind of narrow their focus in on Mohamed Bamba, and I think you'll see the UK staff in touch with him on a very consistent basis until he makes his decision late in the spring.
Now, I have no idea why Donald Trump cares about Kentucky basketball, but he made some discouraging comments about Mo Bamba not being right for Kentucky. I don't know if you heard that. No. Mo Bamba, all right. Now we'll move on to football. Lynn Bowden. Is it Bowden or Bowden? Do you know?
I think it's Bowden.
Okay. Bowden. Lynn Bowden. Big deal from Youngstown, Ohio, runner-up for Mr. Football in the state of Ohio, and four-star athlete. He announces his decision today. According to what I've read, he would be UK's highest-ranked recruit in this class, a top 100 player, number 5 ranked overall athlete, according to your website, 24/7 Sports, 6'1", 190. Comparisons to a Randall Cobb type. He has offers from Michigan, Tennessee, West Virginia, Penn State, Michigan State. But 24/7 Sports Crystal Ball, which is a great thing to look at when predicting these things, a nice guide, it has Kentucky at 83%.
Yeah, at this point, I would be shocked if Kentucky is not the choice. He set his original decision date for January the 25th and decided to move that up. I think Vince Merrill met with him yesterday, and so definitely all signs pointing to Kentucky, and like you said, he would be Kentucky's highest ranked commitment in this class, and I think he would be the fourth highest commitment in the Mark Stoops era, which is certainly saying a lot about his ability, and a kid that our recruiting director called the most dynamic playmaker in the entire Midwest. So would be a monster pickup for Kentucky today.
So is it Vince Merrill? I mean, is he the one that has done the heavy lifting here?
Of course, yeah. He's an Ohio kid, close to Youngstown, and definitely a guy that Vince Merrill has been working hard on for some time now. And anytime you can beat out the, you know, Michigans and Penn States and those types of schools for a kid, it's definitely huge. And there was even some talk that Ohio State may offer late in the process.
Yeah, why haven't they jumped in on him yet? Why have they not have an offer for him?
You know, I think that's part of the luxury of being Ohio State. I think they're in on some higher ranked kids. They, much like Kentucky on the basketball side, have the ability to recruit nationally and really go into any nook and cranny of the country and pluck a kid out of there. Mm-hmm. So I think they have their targets at other positions. I think they're class is very, very close to being full as well, and so either way, however you slice it, it's definitely a huge pickup for Kentucky.
Absolutely, because you're talking about going against two schools in Michigan and Penn State that were just barely on the outside looking in of the playoffs this year, and you know, especially Penn State is returning so many guys, you know, that could be a Final Four team next year.
Yeah, and this is a kid, you look at the loss of Jeff Badet, you look at the loss of Boom Williams, two of the more versatile players on Kentucky's roster, and I think it sets the stage for a guy like Lynn Bowden to come in and contribute right away and get the ball in his hands and line up in different positions. And you know, he's a guy that could actually throw out of the Wildcat. He played quarterback for his high school team this season, which had an outstanding season in the state of Ohio, one of the most competitive states in the country as far as high school football, and so can do a lot of different things and will be an exciting player. And like you mentioned, has drawn some comparisons to a guy named Randall Cobb, so that's big.
Now, I remember Ohio State and Florida were in on another receiver that drew comparisons to Randall Cobb a few years ago. His name was Ryan Timmons. He's not coming back. He has graduated. But the receiving core, which you would figure Bowden fits in there, of these new guys that are coming in, Cleavon Thomas is an early enrollee. Is he someone that, given a spring practice, would be able to help Kentucky in the fall?
It's possible. I saw one of Florida State's five-star cornerback commit really heaped a lot of praise on a guy like Cleavon Thomas, saying he was an absolute handful to deal with. And so if you get him into off-season conditioning and workouts and he goes through spring practice, I think there's a chance for him to come in and help fill the void left behind by Jeff Badette. But I think wide receiver and running back, where Kentucky has suffered losses this offseason, are probably the two spots where they could afford to absorb those types of losses. There's a lot of young talent in the program at both of those positions. And, you know, you look at a guy like Taven Richardson, I think would be able to take a huge step forward next season. And so it's been a very balanced wide receiving core. Jeff Badette was the leading receiver, but that was a very balanced unit, and they have all of those other guys coming back. So I think that'll definitely be a competitive unit into the spring and into the fall.
The Badette news surprise you?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think, he sent out the tweet, and I had to do a double take because I had to make sure that was what I was reading, that he was transferring out of the program. I don't think it's very often you see a leading receiver transfer out, going into his fifth year. But it's definitely an interesting decision, and it makes you wonder, kind of the motives behind that.
One more thing before we let you go. Chris Fisher of 247sports.com joining us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The seven enrollees that are enrolled this week and will go through spring practice: Danny Clark, the quarterback from Columbus, Ohio; Jamin Davis, linebacker from Georgia; Cedric Dort, DB from Florida; Lonnie Johnson, the JUCO DB, which was a highly regarded defensive back; Brian Kobach, running back out of Ohio; Cleavon Thomas, we just mentioned him, and then Walker Wood out of Lafayette. Of those guys there, who kind of stands out to you, or what are you most interested? What's a storyline there that you're looking at?
I think you have to go with Lonnie Johnson. He originally committed to Ohio State out of high school. He was a five-star kid. Shows you his talent and his athletic ability. I think the UK staff likes his versatility, either to play corner or safety. And pick Kentucky over West Virginia and Georgia, two established programs. And so I definitely think he's a guy that has the raw athletic ability and talent to come in and contribute right away.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
So much great information. We always appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right. Enjoy the weekend. Chris Fisher there from 247sports.com. That website, by the way, I think it's pretty brilliant. What they wound up doing is they take all the rankings from all the other sites, recruiting sites, and go, here's the composite. Here's what it is. And then the crystal ball.
Yeah.
Those two things together make that pretty genius website there. All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll continue football talk with our man, John Hale from the Courier-Journal. But next, we'll take your calls, 381-1313, here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Nursing home abuse, Morgan & Morgan at ForThePeople.com.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides, and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown, to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat. Share our passion. Offer subject to change. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
but most of all, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Can I tell you what I think makes the insurance industry happiest of all? When so many people refuse to make a claim because they're afraid their rates will increase. It's absolutely crazy. I can tell you this. When I had to file a claim, I did, and my rates didn't go up. And if you're in a one-car accident as a passenger and don't file a claim, no matter who the driver is, the insurance company wins and you lose. Don't fall for this age-old trick. If you really want to save money on your premiums, bid them out every year. I guarantee you then you will save money. The insurance companies don't want you to hear this either. Be smart. Protect your family and your future, not your insurance company. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Biggie, biggie, biggie. Biggie news.
Biggie news.
Our man, Alex Risen, my former co-worker at Channel 36. He's still there at WTVQ.
And he fills in on this show all the time. When one of us is gone, you know, it's usually Alex filling
in. And
he
does a great job.
He does a great job.
And his wife had a whopper this week.
Colin James Risen was born on Monday, weighing 8 pounds, 9 ounces, and 21 inches long. That's a long baby, but Alex is what, 6'5", 6'6", something like that?
6'5", yeah.
He's tall, and he's just beautiful, and they look like everything, and mom and baby are doing well, so we just wanted to congratulate them.
A little basketball player is born. Because I don't know if Jamie, his wife, played sports in high school, but she does. She looks like she could have been athletic, and she's maybe 5'8", 5'9"-ish.
Yeah.
She works at UK, so we would see her all the time over there. And so, yes, they have a baby boy. Congratulations.
Yeah. I remember his nerves before they found out the gender. Which I'm sure, like most men, are like, you know, in their heads, I want a boy.
Yes.
Because not that they don't want a girl, but because they don't know how to handle a girl. They don't know what they would do with a girl.
Right.
So Alex was very nervous. And when they found out it was a boy, he was very excited.
I'm frightened by the thought of having to raise a daughter. It would just,
I will tell you that my husband, every time anything is on TV, like the littlest thing, he's, oh, I would kill her. I would kill her. I'm like, okay. Like, even at the Louisville game, she better not be on the dance team. She better not be a cheerleader. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. You're going to have to lighten up.
Yeah.
It's going
to
happen.
To calm down. Yeah.
Yep. That would be tough. Luckily, I have two boys. I know exactly how to relate to them in all situations. So Chris Fisher telling us from 24/7 Sports that he'd be shocked if Lynn Bowden didn't come to Kentucky today. And we're talking about a guy who Michigan offered, Tennessee offered, West Virginia, Michigan State, Penn State. And after today, I mean, maybe like signing day, Ohio State could come in and flip him.
What is it, 5 o'clock today? Is that when he said he was going to announce?
I couldn't find a time, but it's today. It's happening today, so we'll find out sometime during the Auburn-Kentucky game. And that's one of the things about the basketball game is usually a lot of sports eyes are on Twitter during a Kentucky basketball game. So we'll likely see it during the game sometime.
Yep. Also want to mention there's a couple other games going on today. The NFL playoffs continue. Randall Cobb was sensational last week, just unbelievable, and so was Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just crazy. That dude is the master of the Hail Mary. It's unbelievable.
And he came on the post game and said, "We're a much better team with 18 on the field."
Yeah. So at 4 o'clock today, it's the Seahawks and the Falcons. And at 8 o'clock tonight, it is the Texans and the Patriots. To me, that second game.
Texans-Patriots, no.
No, the Patriots will win.
Movie time.
Yeah, but those games are both on our air today, so you can listen to them here. And then tomorrow, the Packers and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That's
kind of a big game.
And the Steelers and the Chiefs, I think that's a huge game, too.
Yeah, that thing got moved to 8 o'clock, so that's the late game.
Yep.
And, of course, coming up in 1 hour on our air, Louisville-Duke, you'll be able to hear that game.
Will Grayson Allen trip someone or push an assistant coach?
Thank goodness we're not talking about that next. We're going to talk UK football with the Courier-Journal's John Hale next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
McLane Grocery in Nicholasville is growing and hiring for full-case selector positions at $14 per hour to work in a second McLane location in Lexington. And college students are welcome to apply. If you desire steady work at a competitive hourly rate, please attend the hiring event on Saturday, January 14th from 9 a.m. to noon at 1303 West Main Street, Lexington, Kentucky to complete an application and on-the-spot interview or apply online at mcleanco.com/careers and search Nicholasville. McLane is an equal opportunity employer.
Bank's floor covering.
Have you been getting a lot of calls from a little boy?
Yes, we have.
That's my son. He always talks about how you have something for everyone.
We do, with all the newest in flooring choices for your home. Your son keeps calling us looking for everything.
Derek.
Yes, Mom.
You've got to stop bothering those nice folks at work.
But, Mom, I love talking to them.
Well, I would love it if you would finish your chores before you start making phone calls.
Bank's floor covering. 1117 Winchester Road, just off New Circle Road in Lexington.
Hi, I'm Melissa Kelmes.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Beth.
We are owners of Mind Over Body Pilates Yoga and Healing Arts Studio at 301 East Vine Street. Allow us to help you condition your body and mind through Fletcher Pilates and aerial yoga.
We can help correct your posture, invigorate your mind, and elevate your spirit.
Visit mindoverbodystudio.com to schedule your Fletcher Pilates and aerial yoga experience.
Heal your mind and change your body at
Mind Over Body Pilates Yoga and Healing Arts Studio.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
To the NFL playoffs from Tom Waddle, Lewis Riddick, and Donovan McNabb. It's a Football Monday on Mike and Mike, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hi, it's Paul Feinbaum. College football season never ends. We're your home for coast-to-coast coverage of the game you love.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, Monday at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Good morning, I'm Doug Brown. Home teams went 4-0 in the NFL playoffs last weekend. This weekend, the four home teams are favored. First up on the divisional menu today will be the Falcons hosting the Seahawks in Atlanta. Then it's the Patriots hosting the Texans in Foxborough. ESPN NFL analyst Keyshawn Johnson says this shouldn't be complicated for New England.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady rushing the football, just be New England. Just play football. It's nothing that they won't do well. It's all across the board, whether it's on special teams, defense, or offense. That's why they're called the New England Patriots, and they do things so well.
Patriots wideout Malcolm Mitchell is out today with a knee injury. Tomorrow, the Chiefs host the Steelers. That game pushed back to an 8:20 Eastern kickoff because of the winter storm in Kansas City. Also tomorrow, the Cowboys will host the Packers. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Colts owner Jim Irsay did pursue John Gruden to be the team's head coach, but Gruden said he wasn't interested. Gruden also turned away interest from the 49ers and the Rams. He wants to stay in the Monday night TV booth, partly because of the current coaching restrictions in the NFL. They've been dreadful for a long time, but now the Philadelphia 76ers have won 3 in a row for the first time in 3 years. They beat the Hornets last night 102-93, Joel Embiid with 24 points. And Russell Westbrook gets his 19th triple-double of the season, but he also had 10 turnovers in a Thunder loss to the Timberwolves.
In their last meeting, LeBron and the Cavs edged Steph Curry and the Warriors in Cleveland. Now the two collide at Oracle Arena. Will the result be different this time? Cavs, Warriors, Monday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this: everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices, Lexington.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown, to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat. Share our passion. Offer subject to change. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
I loved this choice, by the way, Josh. We used to have, what do we have, that the Bulls intro by the Alan Parsons Project or whatever, right?
And it just, we shall call it the Alan Parsons Project.
And, you know, that was one of those things that I thought was cool because
growing up watching the Bulls and Michael Jordan and all those championships and them coming into that music, you were just like, wow, they're so cool. How cool would that be for your intro music? Every time you show up, they're playing that. And then it was just misused and abused, and it just didn't work for us. And so we left it in the hands of Josh, who I never trust.
Not with musical.
When it comes to music.
No.
And he goes and pulls out Foo Fighters on us. And it just works perfectly. It times out so that you could speak right before the lyrics start if you wanted to, or you could let the lyrics go. I mean, it's just great. Saw the Foo Fighters in Bridgestone Arena 2 years ago. Really good.
Yeah.
You do not like the Foo Fighters at all, do
you? No, I do. They're okay. I've never seen them, and if they were playing in Lexington, I probably wouldn't go. I just don't care. Yeah. But I like some of their songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, let's get into UK football. Jeff Bidette, big news yesterday, transferring, and I think it took everyone back a little bit and went, whoa, why would he transfer? So, maybe he can shed some light on it. The guy who covers UK football for the Louisville Courier-Journal, John Hale, joins us this morning. Good morning, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, what were your initial reactions to the news?
Well, my initial reaction was just that. I think I tweeted, I don't know. I didn't see that coming. I mean, you look at the numbers on the roster. I think before yesterday, had 18 scholarships available for next year. And they're, what, at 22 commitments, probably going to add a 23rd today, still recruiting a couple more guys for that 17 class. So clearly, some people are going to leave between now and August. I don't think that's any shocker. But when you start going down the list, you start thinking about guys who don't play very much, guys who, for whatever reason, are buried on the depth chart. You know, when Mikel Horton transferred in the middle of the season, I don't know that shocked anybody because you could see he was getting passed over and blah, blah, blah. But Jeff Podesta, lead receiver. So you don't expect your lead receiver is going to be a senior who's been through the whole process of going from, you know, two and ten to a bowl game is going to be a guy who leaves. But then you start to think about it a little bit more. You look back in the middle of the year, I think it was after that Mississippi State game, we had a huge game, had like seven catches, a couple touchdowns, over 100 yards, had a catch to set up the game-winning field goal at the last second. And we came out that Monday, and Marcus Stoops basically said, you know, we had to have a real heart-to-heart last week to get Jeff back on focus. And Lamar Thomas later in the week said he needed a kick in the butt to get back to where he needed to be. And so I think it's easy at that point to think, okay, he signs with an air raid offense that's supposed to throw it a ton of times. Drew Barker gets hurt. Steven Johnson comes in. Benny Snell emerges. And we all know where it went in terms of run pass for the offense. And while Jeff was getting it thrown to him as much as anybody, if you're a receiver who has sights in the NFL and are worried about the number of catches you're getting, maybe you start to think, I'm going to graduate. I can go somewhere else. Who's going to throw the ball a lot more? So I think that's the justification. And if that's the concern, then maybe as a coaching staff, you say, okay, maybe that's in everybody's best interest here because we don't want a guy who's going to be here upset about if he's not getting the ball enough. And I don't know that that was the case with Jeff. It seemed like he put that behind him. They were really high on his maturity after how he responded to those games earlier in the year when he wasn't getting the ball. But I think that's it. You got 1 year to go to the NFL, and he clearly thinks that going somewhere that throws the ball more is probably going to be a better suit for him.
And on, you know, honestly, where Kentucky could probably absorb a loss, and of course you hate to lose Jeff Bidette, but they do have some young receivers who could, you know, step up in his absence next year. Who do you kind of see taking on that role?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. They have a ton of bodies there. So just from a number standpoint, it's not a huge blow. Obviously, like you said, when you lose your leading receiver, any team, that's a blow. And that's something. And maybe the biggest concern is not necessarily the number of catches, but I don't know they have another guy who had the speed to be the burner down the field for those deep post routes that we saw Bidette and Steven Johnson have so much success on this year. So that's the biggest question to me. Is do they have an outside receiver who can be that fast and can just burn by defensive backs and catch long post routes? I don't know if they have that guy, but they do have a bunch of, you know, big dudes who play on the outside, whether it's Dorian Bacon or Tavon Richardson or Kawan Ross or whoever else who can get down there and make big plays and maybe not catch, you know, 50, 60-yard touchdowns, but can get 30 or 40 yards down the field and catch a fade route or whatever it is in the end zone. So I think they have that pretty well under control. They've got to find some speed, I think, on the offense in general. After losing Bidette and Boom Williams, your two fastest players, probably they're going to have to find somebody who's going to be a home run threat, whether it's a freshman like, you know, Cleveland Thomas, who's one of the early enrollees who came in this year, whether it's a guy like Zaire Hughes, who's probably a slot receiver, not an outside guy like Bidette, but had a lot of speed obviously in high school and did a lot of different things. They're going to have to find some people. And then I think maybe your best hope for a big play guy is Lynn Bowden, the four-star kid from Youngstown, who's probably going to commit to Kentucky this afternoon.
You know, on Bidette, one of the more impressive things I heard a player say this year was it was after the catch he made against what was this first like big catch where it was it Mississippi State?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
that was his big breakout
game. Right, and so he said he's asked the following week about that catch, and he says, I had visualized that after dropping that exact same pass against, right, I believe, Auburn. And he, yep, said he had visualized that and that it driven him and motivated him throughout the entire offseason, that if that opportunity ever came up again, there was no way he was going to drop it. And he made an amazing catch against Mississippi State. So I just thought that was impressive that he put it that way.
And yeah, I think he told us that in that interview, too, that he had actually taken the picture of him dropping that pass against Auburn, and it was like his Twitter, you know, profile picture, yeah, or his background picture for you know, several months. So it was clearly something he was thinking about. I thought that was very interesting kind of motivation, too. Obviously, you know, a couple games later, he dropped a few that might have been touchdowns, too. So I don't know that he was completely past that, but he was far from alone in the drops issue as far as receivers go at Kentucky.
We're talking to the Louisville Courier-Journal's John Hale here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. John, refresh my memory. I just can't seem to remember why Jabari Greenwood was not more active last season.
Yeah, I think it's just, he was out there a fair amount. He didn't have a catch. He maybe had a handful of targets the entire year. I think it's interesting with the receivers in general the last couple seasons. We've heard so much about depth and how they have a lot more bodies. And especially 2 years ago, they basically just zeroed in on three guys, Bidette, Dorian Baker, and Garrett Johnson. And those were the only three guys they ever threw the ball to. In that team 2 years ago, it was 5-7. This year, they were a little bit better. I mean, obviously, Tavon Richardson made a big impact early. And then when Baker came back from injury, had less of an impact. Ryan Timmons had a pretty nice bounce back year. Saw Charles Walker get the ball a few times, but the tight ends were more involved. So they had more options, but still, for as far as wide receivers go, they really like those top four guys, and apparently there's some sort of separation between the first team and the second team on the depth charts. So I think guys like Jabari Greenwood just kind of phased out as the season went along. I think, as far as I know, he was healthy. Of course, they don't always tell us injuries to guys, especially if they're down the depth chart, but he was out there. We heard huge things about him throughout spring practice and into the preseason camp. He and Tavon Richardson were always mentioned in the same breath as redshirt guys who could play an impact, and we just didn't see it. But he's a guy for sure. Bidette gone. I think this spring it'll be big for him to see if he can be a guy who can step up and kind of take over that role a little bit.
Seven early enrollees for Kentucky now on campus and getting, you know, they will be participating in spring ball. What are the storylines you look for out of those seven guys?
Yeah, I think obviously you start with two quarterbacks. I mean, I don't think either guy, Danny Clark or Walker Wood, is going to play this year by any means. If they had to play, it would be a pretty big disaster for Kentucky, considering you got Steven Johnson as a senior. Hopefully for them, Drew Barker comes back healthy. Then you got Gunnar Hoke, who redshirted last year. Luke Wright has played. So if either of the freshman quarterbacks have to play this fall, it's a problem. But getting on campus, going through spring ball, seeing what you have there for the future, I think that'll be interesting, obviously, with Walker being the local kid. But a lot of people have questions about whether he can stick a quarterback in the SEC. They're going to give him that chance. I think this spring will be big for him to prove to some people that he can play that position, especially with the way they use Steven Johnson as a dual threat guy. I think that adds to his chances of sticking there. So I'm watching those two guys for sure. Bryant Kobach, the running back, I think is the other really interesting guy among the early enrollees. Supposed to be super fast. We were talking about speed and where it comes from on the offense earlier. He's a guy who could add it, but he was on his way to putting up just ridiculous numbers as a senior in Ohio and broke his leg, I think, four or five games into the season. Didn't play for the rest of the year. He's been rehabbing that. I think saw one report that he hopes to be ready for spring practice, but you never know how that goes. If he could get out there on the field this spring and help compete, there's some need for depth at running back now after losing Boo Williams, and maybe he and A.J. Rose and Saheem King, between the three of them, they can find that kind of lightning guy to go with Benny Snell's thunder in the rotation. So those are the guys I'm looking at among the early enrollees for sure.
Bryant Kobach, sub 4.4 in the 40.
Yeah, I think supposedly at the All-American Combine as a junior year, he was timed at 4.35. So if he can get most of that speed back from an injury, then that's a guy who clearly you're going to see out there, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Back to the receivers, because I still wanted to explore a little bit more on these guys. Kaywon Ross was another guy who's impressive physically, 6'6". He looks like an NFL receiver, similar to the way Dorian Baker looks. And he had that one touchdown last year, and you thought, well, maybe he gets it.
That'll get him going, yeah.
And then never again. Of course, the offense was different than it was expected to be. But he seems like a guy where if you've got Garrett Johnson, you're counting on him. You're counting on Dorian Baker. I think you're counting on Tavon Richardson. Those three. And then after that, it seems like Blake Bone, Kaywon Ross, Jabari Greenwood, or Cleavon Thomas maybe, or the guys that are going to have to make a move to get in there. But what are your thoughts on Ross, Bone, those two guys?
Yeah, I think Ross is a big X factor for me. I mean, both physically, obviously, and just in terms of the offense. I do think throughout preseason camp, he looks so ready to play. He had not, he sat out his last year in junior college to get academically ready and prepare for, so he had that redshirt year. He played 3 years at Kentucky, which is a nice boost for a junior college kid. So even when we heard about him making really impressive plays in camp, I remember Eddie Grant a couple times saying, yeah, he can help us, but he's still got a lot to learn in terms of route running in the offense. So you play him early and hope 6 or 7 games into the year he's ready to go and can be that guy. And he did get hurt. So, I mean, that's why he was not playing in the second half of the season. We were never told specifically what the injury was, but he was not practicing during bowl prep in Jacksonville. He was hurt. So I think that's the biggest issue with him. If he comes back healthy in the spring, has had that year to learn the offense and practice on some of those other things, then I think he's a guy who could make a big step up this year. Blake Bone, I was actually really impressed with Blake this season. I had kind of written him off as a guy who was ever going to be an impact player for this offense. It just seemed like he was always stuck behind some other guys and had never done enough to impress to make that step. But I thought when he was on the field, he made some big catches, especially late in the year. He made some plays that really helped them out in the offense. So he's a guy who I had just kind of assumed, if you're talking about transfer candidates, Blake Bone probably would have been near the top of my list. But now with Badette gone, especially, I could see him having a role next year, especially if he can catch the ball like he did in those few opportunities he got this season. He's a guy I think could play more. We talked about Jabari Greenwood. Dakota Holtzclaw is a big kid who redshirted this year. Is pretty raw, I think has work to do, but he's got that size. And then Zaire Hughes, I think they could have some fun figuring out what to do with him, whether it's as a returner or a slot guy or wildcat or whatever. I think he's a guy who might be a fun weapon for this offense moving forward, too.
Sometimes with Blake Bone, he makes the spectacular catch, mm-hmm. and the routine ones, not so much.
Yep, and I think that's been a fair criticism of a lot of receivers at Kentucky, and he has definitely been fallen trapped to that the last couple of years, too.
One more thing before we let you go. You were spoke to Blake Bone, transfer candidate in your mind previously. There has got to be a transfer candidate among these quarterbacks. You have Davis Mattingly, Luke Wright, Gunnar Hoke, Drew Barker, Steven Johnson, Danny Clark, Walker Wood. Am I missing anyone? I mean, there's seven there.
Yeah.
Someone's not sticking around. You got
to
think.
Yeah, I mean quarterbacks are made to transfer. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that, clearly. You would be surprised if, going into 2018 especially, all six of those guys are still here. I mean, obviously, Steven Johnson's going to graduate at the end of the year. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Luke Wright's already transferred once. He's a walk-on. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect Davis Madden's a walk-on, so he's not a guy who's holding up a scholarship. You never know. The questions become what happens with Gunnar Hoke and what happens with Drew Barker. I think Barker's situation, it's all about health. I mean, people have asked a lot if you think he transferred. To me, the thing that makes most sense for Drew is we don't know if he's going to be ready for spring practice. I think the latest timeline we got is at some point during the spring they'd hope to have him out there. We saw him power walking a lot in Jacksonville during bowl practice, walking around the track, doing his rehab there. So if he's healthy enough to play, I don't see how it makes a lot of sense for him to transfer. He's not going to get the year back in terms of medical redshirt because he already redshirted. So if he transfers to another FBS school, he's got to sit out another year. So if you're going to sit out a year, why not just stay at Kentucky? And assuming Steven wins the starting job, then you never know what happens to him. He's a small guy. He could get hurt in any play. We've seen that the last 3 or 4 years, and Drew could be right back out there. And even if that doesn't happen, you've got another year to be starting quarterback as a senior. So I think, to me, it makes most sense for Drew to leave. I have no idea about any of the other guys. They're all pretty young. But six does seem to be quite a few quarterbacks, especially they've got a commitment in the 2018 class already. I think their only commitment is Jaren Williams, a 4-star quarterback from Georgia, and assuming he sticks with them through signing day, you would think by that 2018 season, at least one of those guys has probably moved on, or maybe they move a guy like Walker Wood to another position. Who knows?
Yeah.
I can see Walker Wood moving and someone leaving. I mean, that's just, I can see both things happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, quarterbacks don't come to school to sit on the bench for 4 years. So it's never a shock to see a guy who had a lot of recruiting hype come into school and then move on. They will lose, I think, 3 or 4 guys between spring practice and the start of camp. I don't know if it's a quarterback. I don't think they're going to lose anybody else before spring practice. That's my understanding, but there's going to have to be some some guys look elsewhere for more playing time this summer just to get all the 2017 recruits on campus.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, John. Always great information and insight. We appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, John.
All right, you too. Anytime.
The Courier-Journal's John Hale there joining us. Always good to talk to him. We'll talk to you next. Looks like we've got a couple phone calls, and we'll take them right after this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Sunday, it's the divisional round of the NFL playoffs as we bring you a special doubleheader. Hi, this is Scott Graham. Join me and the rest of our Westwood One crew for all the action. First, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown invade Kansas City when the Steelers face the Chiefs. Then, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers square off against the number one seed Dallas Cowboys in Big D. The NFL playoffs are right here
on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's basketball season. It's football season. It's the Cellar season. Happy Hour, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7. Game day specials, all NCAA football and basketball, and all NFL games on our beautiful big screen TV. Incredible food in the most beautiful sports bar anywhere. It's the Cellar on Lansdowne Drive, right next to the Signature Club. For more info, call 859-317-8301.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could hire one firm in America to represent my family or friends for injuries, a medical mistake, or for a claim against an insurance company, I would hire us, hands down. No firm in America has tried more personal injury cases in the last 5 years than us. I challenge you to find one. You won't. Insurance companies know who we are and, more importantly, what our results are. The tobacco companies have battled us in the courtroom, and we have verdicts to prove it of $90 million, $40 million, and $18 million for our clients. Black farmers receive $1.2 billion for compensation for years of discrimination against them as a result of our efforts. BP Oil knows who we are as we represent thousands of business owners. Years of verdicts at trial and the desire and the money to fight for justice for our clients is why I would hire us. No brag, just fact. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Hey, it's me, your car. I'm sick. That means my engine light's on. Please bring me to CarMedic.
The local owner-operators are the doctors. I mean the CarMedics. They never surprise us with anything, and they treat my car like it's their own. Plus 30-minute oil changes and a free shuttle. Listen to your car. Bring it to CarMedic on Houstonville Road next to Pizza Hut in Danville. Call them at 209-2191 and follow them on Facebook, CarMedic, where they treat your car like it's their own.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You can listen to us online, WLXG.com, or get the app, WLXG. That's what you type in when you go to the App Store on iTunes or you go to the Google Play. Type in WLXG, the app. Super simple, so awesome, so easy. You tap it, and you are live streaming whatever is on this radio station 24/7. All right, let's get to the phones. 381-1313 is the number to call. Jim? Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. I'm a bit confused, which, as normally I live in the state of confusion. I don't understand. We got this kid, Diallo, and he's probably going to be a one and done. What is the logic of at least not playing him this year? I don't get that. If you're just going to have him for a year and it's not going to affect his eligibility, why not play him?
I think, Jim, it would be because he has never practiced with this group. I don't know that they necessarily, I mean, you're not going to turn down a player like him, but I don't necessarily think they need him. So until he gets up to speed, I don't think he wants to be thrown out there and not look good. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Cal wants to throw him out there and him not look good. And that be NBA scouts' first look at him in a college offense and defense.
That's it right there. I think people look at it and go, well, what do you got to lose? Well, the thing you got to lose is the first impression that everyone sees. And see, Fox and Monk and Adebayo and Gabriel and all those guys, Calipari said this was like the first group ever that had been here the entire summer, all of them together. So those guys had 2-3 months. What, they came in July, August, mm-hmm. September. I mean, they had 3 months before practice ever began to get acclimated to what was expected of them, kind of college life, because they enrolled in classes already, all that stuff, and get a feel for it, and then just know what to do and all that. And they had a month of practice before games started. So you're talking 4 months behind is Diallo coming into
and
a situation.
Even more, because now they've played.
Yeah. So there's a chemistry.
2.5 months together.
That's there. And so if he gets out on the floor and turns it over or shoots it poorly, whatever. Now, he could make it up, obviously, with his play next season. But I think there's more harm to be done than help for his personal future as a player and his career. And that's what Calipari is always the most concerned about. Anytime somebody mentions something about team first type stuff, he'll bring it back to, well, we're about the players first. And, you know, so I think that's what it is. Players first. Hamidou Diallo's best interest is not to play. But I would think that you get him up to speed as quickly as you can and get him into some games in garbage time during this SEC schedule that they're running through. And so that if in March and you're in the Sweet 16 and Fox and Monk have 2 fouls with 10 minutes to go in the first half and you're down 5, you can throw him in there. Right?
You're thinking like me now, Dan. I don't get it. the kid from New Zealand, last year when Cal went to put him in, he said, no, I'm not ready. And you see how that's affected him. He really hasn't played significant minutes. Mm-mm. And I still think that's a throwback for him refusing to go in last year.
Yeah.
I want what's best for the kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do, but I would definitely not rule out him playing if I was coach. All I've heard is no, he's not gonna play. Well, why don't you take a wait and see approach?
Well, that's what Diallo was doing, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, Calipari said yesterday his recommendation was not to play, but Diallo told Fox Sports and Scout.com's Evan Daniels that he hasn't ruled out playing this semester. He said, right now, we're just playing it by ear. So, I mean, that's what he said within the last 7 days. So, him, personally, he's not ruling it out. So, he could go to Cal at some point and go, I think I'm ready to go. I mean, I want to play. So, he could do that. And Calipari may say, I don't think that's a good idea. But, you know, it's really his decision. That's Calipari's decision, too, but he hasn't ruled it out. Calipari sounds like he is ruling it out.
I think Cal would tell him,
don't be stupid.
Yeah. We're going to have a ton of scouts at this game.
Mm-hmm.
Watching everyone but you. Watching a bunch of other guys. And you're going to be in there. And I don't want to throw you out when you're not ready.
But to me, he has a whole season to make up for that, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's what. So I see your. I mean, I see both sides of it. And if it's me, I'm figuring out a way to get him on the court. I just am. Because I'm too worried after what I saw against Vanderbilt. I mean, we've got a chance to win a national championship is what my mind would be thinking. Because if you look at some of these numbers that are going on right now with like KenPom.com. All right, Calipari's teams that have been ranked number one, because Kentucky's number one right now in the KenPom.com rankings, which means they are top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency. Now, Kentucky has had two teams under Calipari that has been top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency, and that was the 2015 38-1 team and the 2012 championship team. All right, his 2010 team with Wall and Bledsoe and Cousins, they were third overall, 15 in offensive efficiency, sixth in defense efficiency. So he's got a number one team right now. He's got a special group that could make it, and you would hate to see a bad whistle keep them from advancing in the NCAA tournament when he's got a 5-star shooting guard sitting right there next to him on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we saw a bad whistle against Vandy.
A quick whistle for sure.
That was a horrible game. And honestly, it was both ways. I can't.
Yeah, no, it was almost unwatchable because every three seconds.
They just kept blowing the whistle on stuff that sometimes I don't think people even touched each other and they called a foul on air.
No. I call them sweat fouls. He must have sweated on the guy because he sure didn't touch him. For a minute, I thought Doug Shouse was refereeing the game, but he wasn't. And then I had visions back to Don Rutledge. So, oh, no, God, please, no, no. But, you know, it is what it is. The thing is, we found a way to win the game.
Yes.
Yep.
And that was very heartening to see that. And, you know, when they're chanting overrated at Malik Monk, I think they forgot, oh, we're behind on the scoreboard and they're overrated.
Yeah. Mm. Come on. Yeah. No, that's just,
yeah. I hate that.
Yeah.
That's
first
league.
Of all.
It's Bush League.
I also hated when West Virginia rushed the court this week for beating number one Baylor. Mm. When West Virginia is number 10,
yeah.
Baylor had never been number one before. Anyone who knows college basketball probably would have thought, now that Baylor got to be number one, I bet they get blown out in their first game.
Yeah.
And they did.
Uh-huh.
And I hated seeing them rush the court for that.
Now, Baylor's a 2-point underdog at Kansas State today.
Can you ever see a circumstance that the fans would ever rush the court at Rupp Arena?
No. Can't. No,
I can't, because we act like we've been there before.
Unless the national championship were played at Rupp,
yeah,
and we won it,
and that's not happening.
That's an exception.
Yeah, but and that'll never happen. Like,
and they don't do it at Kansas either. They don't do it there.
I don't think I've ever seen them do it at Duke. I mean,
mm-mm.
The teams that know they're good and they're going to be good and have been there before, they don't act that way.
They do it at Indiana. We know that.
They certainly do.
But
Louisville doesn't.
What would you expect from a bunch of Hoosiers?
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Hey, thanks, Jim. We appreciate the call.
Have a great day. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, Matt, you're up next. Good morning, Matt. Oh, no, Matt is not there.
We talked to Jim too long. Sorry, Matt.
Give
us a call back, and we'll get to you right on the other side of this break on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Listen for the Big Blue Report with Dan Reifer on this LM Communications radio station, brought to you by Republic Bank, where it's just easier here.
This is Ted Innebach. My family owns Body Shapes Medical. For years now, you've heard radio and TV personalities talk about how our services have given them back the energy and look of their youth. These are people you know, but it's the people you don't know that I want you to hear from.
I have a high-stress job. I run a business. I get up in the morning, and I'm ready to go. I'm zippity-doo-dah. I'm sharp and on my toes. I love going over there. They all know you. If you want to feel great again, feel like you're 25, then I recommend Body Shapes Medical.
Sometimes you get in your mid-40s, and you're working harder than ever in the gym, and sometimes it's not your fault. And that's where Body Shapes came in. I'm stronger. I'm faster. I've got more passion, more energy, and I'm happier than ever. Without hesitation, I tell anyone to go to Body Shapes.
The process is simple. Come in, get your hormone levels examined, and we'll show you a plan. For $199 a month, you can start feeling better today. Call us at Body Shapes Medical, 859-410-6100, 859-410-6100, or visit bodyshapesmd.com.
I'm in control of my world. My world is the same every day.
Every minute, my world seems to get a little smaller. My world is driving me crazy.
My world. What world? If your world is controlled by alcohol, there is hope.
We're AA, Alcoholics Helping Other Alcoholics Get Sober for more than 70 years.
You'll find us in the phone book, your local newspaper, or on the web at AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Auburn and Kentucky today, 4 o'clock, ESPN. The Cats are a 24-point favorite. Of course, Auburn won down there on the Plains last year. Kentucky blew a 12-point lead with under 16 minutes to go. It's one of only three losses in 204 games in which Calipari at Kentucky has had a 10-point lead at any point during the game. They're not losing today. Just don't see it happening.
Now, Auburn does have some decent wins this year.
Oklahoma, Texas Tech, UConn, but yeah. Lost first three games in SEC play. Lost to Georgia, Vandy, and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Beat Mizzou by 5 at Mizzou.
That's not saying. That's no. That looks bad.
Hostile crowd of 3.
That one guy, yeah.
Kept yelling.
Just like that one guy throwing eggs at the Chargers.
Oh, I missed that.
Front office. That. Yeah. So obviously they're moving to LA and just one dude shows up with a dozen eggs. Watches the yolk drip down. Just such a lonely old Charger.
I hate you. It does suck though that the San Diego Chargers are now the LA Chargers. I mean, there was no team there for how many years? The Raiders moved back to Oakland. The Rams moved to St. Louis. Now the Rams are back, and the Chargers are going to be there. San Diego doesn't have a team, and St. Louis doesn't have a team. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get used to the L.A. Chargers. Well, it doesn't matter. I don't watch the Chargers anyway. You know? I don't care for them anyway.
Right, but neither does anyone in L.A.
Yeah. Or nobody in San Diego, apparently. Well, Calipari yesterday, he spoke about Isaiah Briscoe and his leadership. This was probably the biggest thing I heard from Calipari yesterday. One of the biggest things all season about this team is that he said he wanted to go recruiting on Thursday, and he wanted to see like 3 players were in one tournament or something. And so maybe it's Mo Bamba was one of them. I don't know. But anyway.
He did visit him, watch him this week.
He did, and it was in Philadelphia. But he said, we have to practice in the morning for me to be able to do that. School just started back this week. Can you guys handle it? Because if you can't, we can't afford to waste a day. We can't just have a practice where you're dragging through it. It's got to be a good practice. I won't do it. We'll practice in the afternoon, but I'd rather be able to go see 2 or 3 kids at once and not have to spend 2 or 3 days traveling myself. So I said, we'll do it. He said when he walked in at 7:25 in the morning, Isaiah Briscoe already had the entire team ready to go for practice. They were all clapping when he got there, like, you're late.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said the practice was outstanding. So he said, told him one, Isaiah Briscoe's leadership is spectacular and everything he expected it to be, and 2, says something about this team. Then he also said that he pointed out Bam Adebayo and brought him up and said, I hate to put this in your face so many times. Apparently he uses Bam Adebayo as an example of hard work. And I hate to put this in your face so many times, but who's the hardest worker here? And they all say Bam. So I don't know if I've heard that. I've heard that Bam was like giving the most effort on the court rebounding. But I don't know that we heard that he was considered to be the hardest worker on the team.
Well, and we've definitely heard lately that De'Aaron Fox has been practicing his tail off.
And that was kind of Calipari's point, because he was also talking about that, is he said something to the effect of, someone asked the question, I know, and they would say, I know you're going to say that Fox is getting into the gym and that's the cause of this, but what else is, helping his shot? And he said, if you go and practice it, then you get better at it. That's exactly.
And he's had some of his best practices.
Right. There's a reason he's shooting 60% over the last 3 games, and the reason isn't because the moon and the stars aligned perfectly and the light hit me right here on this spot. No, it's because I've been working on it. So his point was, because he said, we got about 2 or 3 guys that need to come along. So I think he's saying, look at Bam, look at De'Aaron, look at what these guys are doing. You do these things, and you'll get us there. But I still think this could be a special team.
I think it has a great chance to be.
Yeah. Without a doubt. These KenPom rankings tell you. Because these the KenPom rankings, like if you look back at champions, national champs, they've all been like in that top 10 of offensive and defensive efficiency or right around there. There's been a few outliers, but they're good predictors. Now, he said, KenPom did, that UK has the highest percentage chance to go undefeated in conference play of anyone in any conference. 15.2%. Gonzaga was like second. They play in the weak conference. Weak coast conference, whatever it is.
Yeah, and Kentucky plays in a pretty weak conference, too.
Yes, I mean, that's exactly. And he stated, KenPom on his blog, stated this week that UK is his pick to be the Selection Sunday favorite to win the NCAA tourney.
Ugh. Meaning I don't want to be the Selection Sunday favorite.
Exactly. That's what he said. He said,
I mean,
Selection
I know,
Sunday.
I think we were in 2012. I'm sure we were in 2012.
Absolutely. Well, in 2015.
Well, obviously, yeah.
2015 couldn't lose until they did. But I think you're looking at a team that goes undefeated through the conference slate. I mean, yes, there obviously is one of those games here or there where they could get slip up on the road. I mean, Vanderbilt.
Sure, yeah.
I saw that. So it's not unthinkable.
You know, a couple guys getting foul trouble.
But certainly if Kentucky runs the table, wins the SEC tournament, and is on whatever win streak that would be, 20-something games, then they're going to be the favorite to win the NCAA tournament as a one seed come Selection Sunday.
I stand by our conversation from last week where this Kansas game coming up is hugely important for that.
Yeah, for the seeding.
Yeah.
Because South Carolina and Florida are really the only teams that it's going to matter and what even, you do against them in the SEC. The other teams, it won't matter. If you win at Tennessee, doesn't matter. It's just don't lose.
Yeah. And even wins over Florida and South Carolina are not going to be that impressive because in everyone's mind, Kentucky should still win those games and should still be a much better team than those teams are, regardless of where they're ranked or what their record is.
But we've been updating almost weekly here the pace of Bam Adebayo, Malik Monk, and De'Aaron Fox because all of them have chances to break records.
Significant records.
Freshman and all-time records. So Bam Adebayo up to 49 dunks in 15 games. 92 by Anthony Davis is the record. So clearly he's ahead halfway through. Mm-hmm. 49. Monk has 50 threes through 16 games. Jody Meeks, this is where there's a little separation now. Monk has cooled off a little bit. Meeks, 64 when he set the record of 117. Jamal Murray had 42, though, through 16 when he set the freshman record of 113. So the all-time record in a season, 117. Murray, the freshman record, 113. And so Monk is 8 ahead of Murray at this point. But we remember February. Murray got super hot. De'Aaron Fox has 103 assists through 16 games. Tyler Ulis had 90 through 16 games. He set the record.
Yeah.
Wall set the record before Ulis did. Wall had 107 through 16 games. So he's ahead of Ulis and a little behind Wall. Adebayo, Fox, and Monk. This is a new one, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Like, I check the game notes, read through them, and search for nuggets. And a lot of them are repeats that are just updated. But every now and again, I come across one that either I didn't read before or that is new. A wrinkle. And you got to go deep, baby. This isn't on the first three pages of the game notes. This is on page 11. Where Eric Lindsay has buried a nugget. And so this is it. Bam Adebayo, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk have combined to average 51.5 points per game, 14.8 rebounds per game, 9.3 assists per game. All right, what is the best freshman combo trio?
Trio.
That Calipari has had. I think everyone has to agree that it's John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Of freshmen.
Yes.
Well, those three averaged 43 points per game compared to the 51 points that these guys are averaging now. 17 rebounds, which is three better than the 14.8, so two better. One more assist. So, I mean, this could be Fox, Monk, and Adebayo the best trio of freshmen Calipari has ever had. We'll take a break and talk more about this UK game when we come back here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change, not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Hey, have you heard that Time Warner Cable Business Class is now Spectrum Business? It's a real change for your business to faster internet, better business phone, and over 99.9% network reliability. They've increased their starting internet speeds to 60 megs for only $59.99 a month when bundled. That's up to six times faster than Windstream internet. And they offer reliable business voice with unlimited long distance for only $29.99 a month per line. Plus, with Spectrum Business, there are no contracts to sign. They just earn your business every day. Windstream would never do that. Call 866-403-7555 today and switch to Spectrum Business. That's 866-403-7555. Call now.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could give you two pieces of advice in choosing the law firm to represent you for your injuries, it would be simple. Pick a firm that's been around a long time. I've seen so many come and go. And pick a firm with the financial strength to give you the best chance to be fully compensated for what has been taken from you. Our battles have been against the establishment, tobacco companies, the pharmaceutical industry, insurance companies, and bully corporations. We advance on behalf of our clients millions of dollars, sometimes $1 million in a single case, to fight the giants. Whether it's a car crash case, workers' compensation, medical malpractice, or an insurance dispute, you need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar, toe to toe, so that you have a fighting chance. For 30 years, we've represented the people, not the powerful. Let us fight for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
UK, Auburn, 4 o'clock, Cats are a 24-point favorite. So it's going to get out of hand, you think, and then football's on.
I was going to say, so what do you do in this situation? Because you know that we're going to have to talk about the Auburn game tomorrow.
Yeah.
But what if it is out of hand, and then you look and see what the score is of the football game, and it's close?
Well, the good thing about the football game is it starts at 4:30, and the UK game would be over at 6, so you got the entire second half where the game's decided.
That's
so
true.
That's what I'm doing. I'm watching the second half, which you can listen to the football game on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 4 o'clock. It is the Seahawks at the Falcons, followed by the Texans at the Patriots. Kentucky has shot the ball so well recently, 50% from the field in four straight SEC games for the first time since the 87-88 season. 50% shooting in 11 of 16 games this season. Now, here's why. Kentucky has scored 41% of its points on either dunks or layups.
Yeah.
44 points a game in the paint. And UK is averaging 93.8 points a game, second nationally.
Is UCLA still number one?
I believe so. Yeah. But 93.8 points per game.
I know.
So
and against Vandy, I mean, they still ended up with 85.
Yeah.
And it felt like they couldn't score at all.
So who is the all-time leader in points per game? Kentucky team. Which Kentucky team has the most points per game over a season?
Are you asking me to guess?
Well, it's written on here if you haven't looked at it yet.
I have not looked at it yet, but my guess would be the 96 team.
The 96 team is in the shot clock era, but not all time. The 96 team averaged 91.4 points per game. The 1970-71 team averaged 95 points per game, and that is the school record. So UK is at 93.8, ahead of the 96 team, just below the 71 team. But the 290 assists that UK has is 25 more right now than the 09-10 team had at the same point. And that team has the record for assists under Calipari at UK. 18.1 assists right now is just behind the 96 team's mark all time of 21 assists per game. And that is the all-time record, 21 assists per game. I mean, you think of that 96 team and how much they shared. This team gets up and down and shares a ton, too.
Well, that's what makes it fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier, after having been at the Louisville Pitt game on Wednesday. We sometimes take for granted how, and I keep using this word because I can't think of anything better, but just like electrifying some of the players that we have had at Kentucky are.
Yeah.
I mean, De'Aaron Fox is that guy. Bam dunks it so hard every time.
Yeah.
Malik can get a shot from, and these are different level dudes.
They are.
That you don't find everywhere.
Well, and look what they become.
Yeah.
Look at Devin Booker right now. What did he go for the other night? 40-something? He had a ridiculous night this week.
Yeah.
You look at Karl Anthony Towns and what he's doing. Cousins is the best big man in the game right now. John Wall's an all-star. I mean, Bledsoe is all-star fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lyles is playing well for Utah. I mean, just all these guys every night.
Yeah.
Some wildcat that has come through here under Calipari is just playing lights out. You know, Fox and Monk is going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
You got to think.
I think Fox is as well.
Yeah.
You know, Julius Randle's playing.
Yes, he is.
Really well. And he seems like a Bam kind of type to me. Bam's maybe a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's had a triple-double.
Randle and Ingram and D'Angelo Russell, those three there, is what the Lakers are building on. That's their future. That's their hope.
Don't forget Jordan Clarkson from the University of Missouri.
Yeah, didn't know he was on the team.
Oh, okay. Did not know. He is.
Okay. Of course, Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns are the...
And what Davis has been doing this year has been
ridiculous,
too.
It's just too bad he's on the Pelicans. They're no good.
They are no good.
College basketball today, noon. Following us right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, number 7 Duke at number 14 Louisville. The Cardinals are a 4-point favorite.
I have not followed Duke well enough, aside out of the Grayson Allen stuff, to know what, like, the Tatum and Giles, are they just not playing well? Or are they playing? I don't know. But I know they lost to Virginia Tech. Who'd they lose to? Florida State this week.
And what's
Florida State got good out of nowhere, it seems.
Yeah.
They got real good.
And then the guy that was going to come to Kentucky, you know, was deciding between Kentucky and Duke, the big man. What's his name? Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
Marquise?
Bolden.
Bolden.
Yeah.
So Bolden, Giles, Tatum. I don't know. I know Emil Jefferson is missing today's game. So I don't know, but and Coach K is not there either. So, hey, go ahead. Lose to Louisville, really. I don't care. Hey, the better Louisville looks, the better Kentucky's loss to Louisville looks. So, because Kentucky should have never lost to Louisville.
That Florida State-North Carolina game at 2 o'clock.
Number 9 and number 11. That'll be a good one.
Be good.
Xavier Butler should be a good one. I mean, the SEC games, it's hard to even watch. Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Alabama, LSU, please. Missouri, Arkansas. Ole Miss, South Carolina.
Nope.
No. Sendarius Thornwell, by the way, for South Carolina. The Gamecocks are undefeated since he came back. He's good. He's good. No doubt about it.
Tennessee, Vandy. Nope.
Probably not going to watch that.
So St. Mary's plays at Gonzaga tonight, though. Is Gonzaga the last undefeated team then?
Mm-hmm. That is right. Number five in the country, last undefeated team, and likely to go. I mean, St. Mary's is the only team that's going to give them any trouble in the conference whatsoever. When Gonzaga goes to St. Mary's, that could be an upset. But, Gonzaga is, I think, a double-digit favorite to win at home over St. Mary's. But that's a 10 o'clock game. I'll probably watch a little bit of that. Tomorrow, we will talk about this Auburn-Kentucky game. We'll talk about NFL, which is on our radio station here, ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
And we'll go over our sports figure of the year.
Top 10 sports figure of the year picks. We'll get into it tomorrow. Thanks for listening today to the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Duke and Louisville up next.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
This guy is self-aware. Never let your audience decide how to...